Say, Lord Jesus,
we thank you for your grace.
We thank you for the refreshing.
And we also praise you for the word. For the word will give us freedom and a blessing for this washing of our feet. Thank you, Jesus. I want to take you to John chapter 13, and I'm going to be using the Passion Translation. So we thank you for the man of God who took the time to go a little deeper with the word and the multiplications of understandings. Brian Simmons was a friend. And still is. We haven't seen each other for quite a while, but God knows when. Verse 1 of chapter 13. Now, on your own, you can kind of back up what was happening before. Jesus knew that the night before Passover would be his last night on earth. Before leaving this world, to return to the Father's side. All throughout his time with his disciples, Jesus had demonstrated a deep, tender love for them. And now he longed to show them the full measure of his love. Do you understand? The measure of the love is calculated by obedience. Okay? Before their evening meal had begun, the accuser, and of course you could go for the heading of that one, the devil, had already deeply embedded betrayal into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now Jesus was fully aware, I repeat, Jesus was fully aware that the Father had placed all things under his control. For he had come from God and was about to go back to be with him. So he got up from the meal and took off his outer robe and took a towel and wrapped it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' dirty feet. And dried them with his towel. And when Jesus got to Simon Peter, he objected and said, I can't let you wash my feet, my dirty feet. You're my Lord. Jesus replied, you don't understand yet the meaning of what I am doing, but soon it will be clear to you. You see, sometimes you won't understand what God is doing, why he's doing something. But later on, there'll be a revelation. There'll be a turning of a dial within you by the Holy Ghost. And you'll say, oh, now I get it. And that's your mysteries that you're speaking of. And it might take a few years before you get the download on those mysteries. So, you don't understand yet the meaning of what I'm doing, but soon it will be clear to you. Peter looked at Jesus and said, you'll never wash my dirty feet, never. Doesn't that sound like Peter? But Peter, if you don't allow me to wash your feet, Jesus responded, then you will not be able to share life with me. Why? When I read this again today, it brought me back to the YMCA, downtown Springfield, after we had had an incredible foot washing service. And I kept saying, God, you know, I'm nosy, but, you know, I know that everything you say has meaning. And part of this reasoning that we have, which we identified last week, okay, says, oh no, don't wash my feet. That's a demon spirit. And it is so busy in the churches. And not just in the churches, on the streets, in the corporate world, it's all over the place. In the capital of our nation, it's everywhere, doing an unbelievable dirty work. So, if you don't allow me to wash your feet, you will not be able to share life with me. Check that out for yourself. There's a mystery there that only you can get. Because, you see, I was having a problem. And I'm in the why. And the Lord said, keep looking and you'll be able to see the clarity. So Peter responds, which is the normal Peter, okay? Peter said, Lord, in that case, don't just wash my feet, wash my hands and wash my head too. I could say the same. Jesus said to him, you are already clean. You've been washed completely and you just need your feet to be cleansed. But that can't be said of all of you. For Jesus knew which one was about to betray him. And that's why he told them that not all of them were clean. After washing their feet, he put his robe on and returned to his place at the table. Do you understand what I just did? Jesus said, you've called me your teacher and Lord, and you're right, but that's who I am. For that's who I am. That's the I am that Moses met. So if I'm your teacher and Lord, and have just washed your dirty feet, then you should follow the example that I've set for you and wash one another's dirty feet. Now do for each other what I have just done for you. I speak to you timeless truth. A servant is not superior to his master. And an apostle is never greater than the one who sent him. So now, put into practice what I have done for you, and you will experience a life of happiness enriched with unfolding blessings. I don't refer to all of you when I tell you these things, for I know the one I've chosen to fulfill the scriptures that says, the one who shared supper with me treacherously betrays me. I'm telling you this now before it happens, so that when the prophecy comes to pass, you will be convinced that I am, all capitals. Listen to this timeless truth. Whoever receives the messenger I sent receives me. And the one who receives me receives the Father who sent me. Then Jesus was moved deeply in his spirit. Looking at his disciples, he announced, I tell you the truth, one of you is about to betray me. Eyeing each other, his disciples puzzled over which one of them could do such a thing. And the disciples that Jesus dearly loved was at the right of him at the table, and was leaning his head on Jesus. Peter gestured to this disciple to ask Jesus who it was who was referring to. Then the dearly loved disciple leaned into Jesus' chest and whispered, Master, who is it? And you know the rest. You see, the cleansing of your feet is the cleansing of your walk. It is to remove the dust, the dirt, the things that you walk in the earth with. And to be obedient to what he's called us to do is an example to all of us. It was designed to do something special. Now tonight, I heard, put the costly spikenard in the water. For your information, I had already put a little bit of bleach so that nothing in the water would be able to, you know, contaminate your feet, etc. I put maybe 4 or 5 tablespoons in each container. But to put the oil in, it was awesome because the oil circulated on top of the water, and I'm sure you got to see it. It was just awesome. And I put my hand, and if you smell your hands, you can literally smell the spikenard that the Lord provided. And that reminded me of Mary, who anointed Jesus, and we could go there, but I'm not going to.
Hey.
Huh? There is there, my brother. Hallelujah. So, you see, she was moved of God to take the alabaster jar, break it, and just literally pour it over his feet and over his head. And I heard something this week that was really awesome for me. It was a reminder that when she poured that ointment on him, it would be an odor that would literally be with him during the entire time that he was beaten, that he carried the cross, that he was on the cross. Literally, his perspiration and even the blood would be intermingled with that spikenard, reminding him that he had been prepared for one thing, to go into that grave with the anointing and come out again, to perfect the grave. The grave is now a part of life, and it has no more ability to keep you because Jesus literally swallowed up death. That's what he did. He swallowed it up just like Moses when he threw his staff down and that serpent swallowed up the demonic garbage. And I could go on. But what I want you to understand is I'm not looking for legalism. What I am looking for is Jesus gave us an example to literally pick up our brothers, to pick up our sisters, to carry them spiritually and sometimes physically. You know, a ride can make a change, right? Just being who you are, connecting with each other, becoming one with each other, is going to change things in you and for you. So tonight, you know, I was looking to obey and looking to just carry out what he's called us to do. And I really believe that that's what he did. So if you'll close your eyes, put your right hand over your heart, say, Holy Spirit, you are in control. What you've started with me is an example for me to give out to others, to awaken them to what you have planned. As we have received freely, now we will give. In Jesus' name, continue healing our walk. Continue healing our feet, because sometimes they get dirty, but you definitely gave us an example that we've been anointed tonight. The oil has definitely penetrated our feet, and it will be a sweet aroma to our Father, because I'm sure when Jesus rose from the dead, that smell must have been still present. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Spirit of truth. Give me eyes and ears to hear and see. a little bit more of what you have for me. I was pressed to go into this little teaching today and yesterday, but it really shattered me to take another level, okay? The Holy Spirit will witness of Christ. The Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now, where is the Holy Spirit? He's right inside of me. John 15:26. The Spirit of God is faithful to testify only of the anointed, or Christ. That is why he came into the earth. He came to take the place of Jesus. I love that part. Holy Spirit came to take the place of Jesus. The faithful and true witness. Now, while he was in the earth, a few people got to see him. But with the Holy Spirit, anyone around the earth can taste and enjoy. The faithful and true witness, who is now on the throne. And because the Spirit is faithful to testify only of Christ, God's servant in the earth, who loves him, will also faithfully bear witness to the truth. That's verse 27 of John 15. His enthronement in heaven, God's best plan. Get a clue on this one. It is expedient, or best, for you that I go away. John 16, verse 7. There will be no interruption of the ministry of the Son simply because he has gone away. And his people in the earth may not always prove to be faithful. Say ouch. Nor is he coming back to earth to do something the church has not been able to do. I thought that was cool. The church will yet know, the world will yet recognize that God's plan is the very best. See, we all have a tendency to hold on to the Lord or hold on to a moment. Yet tomorrow's moments will be even greater if you trust him. Oh, I should have heard an amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit has taken the place of Jesus in the earth. Try that one on for size. Say, the Holy Spirit has taken the place of Jesus in the earth. In this earth as well. If I go not away, the Comforter, the Advocate, will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. John 16:7. When he came to do and say and work as Jesus did when he was here, reproving the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Verse 8. Jesus was the truth, and the Holy Spirit is now the Spirit of truth. Try that one on for size. Say, Jesus was the truth. And the Holy Spirit is now the Spirit of truth. And he's inside me. I don't have to go looking for him. He's right inside me. Okay, now take a deep breath. Digest it. Once again, abiding in a body, a corporate body in the earth. You saw that corporate body tonight. Every joint supplied. The Holy Spirit will lead his people into all truth. Yes. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. John 16:13. So you got that? John 16:13. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Jesus was the truth here on earth. But there were many things his people could not yet receive. The Spirit of God coming to abide in his people would therefore continue the work that Jesus started. and lead them into a still further revelation of truth. Some insist, we have the complete Bible now, and with attitude. With the New Testament added to the Old. So, we need no further revelation. Ouch. But those who say such things ignore the fact that the New Covenant itself must be ministered to the hearts of men by the same Holy Spirit who caused the scribes to write it. Think about it. All the Old Testament was written down by the scribes under an anointing of the Holy Spirit. It must be a ministration of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3 through 8. 2 Corinthians 3 through 8. God's people, even though they have received the Spirit, must have a further endowment of the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of their understanding being enlightened. If they are going to hear and see and know what God is saying and experience and appropriate what God is doing, see Ephesians 1, verse 17 and 18. If they are going to hear and see and know what God is saying and experience and appropriate what God is doing, Holy Spirit will speak only what He hears. He only speaks what He hears. While He's downloading it into you, you are getting God's will being done through you. Yeah, I thought you'd like that one. He shall not speak from Himself, but whoever He shall hear, that shall he speak. And He will show you things to come. John 16:13. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. The word from the throne will be accurately and precisely declared in the earth, because the Spirit is under obligation to speak only what He hears. Only what He hears. You can add to it, but you'll create a problem. You can take a little bit away, and you might create a lie. And the Spirit that is working on you is reasoning to negate everything that comes from Holy Ghost. That's the job of that demon. Okay? And therefore, His ministers in the earth will be under obligation to speak only what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Say yum yum. Got it? The Spirit will glorify the Son. This one is so cool. John 16:14. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. Yeah. Take that one to the bank. Taking from Christ and imparting that treasure to His people does not glorify God's minister. It glorifies the anointed one, Christ Himself. I add a little bit. The man who speaks from himself is speaking his own glory, John 7:18. But the man who speaks out from the heart of the Spirit of God is seeking the glory of Christ and His only, because the Spirit speaks out from the bosom of the Son to glorify the Father. Yeah. I'll give you one more. All the treasures of Christ are given to His people. Cry it on. Say, all the treasures of the Anointed One.
All the treasures of the Anointed One.
Christ Himself.
Christ Himself.
Are given to His people.
Are given to His people.
That's us.
That's us.
He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. John 16:15. You better make a note on that one, because that's important. John 16:15. The hidden wisdom, the unsearchable riches of Christ, the breadth, the length, the depth, the height of His immeasurable treasure. Woo-hoo!
Four dimensions.
Yes. The love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, the depth of the riches both of wisdom and knowledge of God. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit abiding in His people in the earth, to bring forth all the riches from the heart of God. Not tradition. Tradition is under the anointing of flesh. It is doing what you did last year and 200 years ago and 400 years ago. Holy Spirit is of today. Yes. Yow. Say, it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Abiding in His people.
Abiding in His people.
That's me.
That's me.
In the earth.
In the earth.
To bring forth all the riches.
To bring forth all the riches.
From the heart of God.
From the heart of God.
And make them known to His people.
And make them known to His people.
That's on the job.
That's on the job.
At the doctor's office.
At the doctor's office.
At the grocery store.
At
the gas station, wherever you are, you've got a delivery. You better do it. That's why your feet are anointed. And yet the foolish man will insist, huh, we do not need the Holy Spirit now because we have the Bible. Who wrote it? Ignorantly believing that they can understand the depth of God without the abiding presence of His Spirit, and take the things of Christ and make them known to man. Whew. So smart, aren't we? Forgive me, Father. That wasn't you. That's Kim. Surely, in all that we have said, it is abundantly evident that in the coming of the Holy Spirit to abide in His temple in the earth, God's people would in no way fall short of a clear, precise, accurate, and distinct revelation from God by reason of the weaknesses and frailties of the vessel in whom God's Spirit would dwell. Yeah. Say, Holy Spirit,
I realize sometimes
that I run ahead of you, or I don't connect with you, and I lose a battle here or two.
Help me,
and remind me,
and
counsel me
to get your opinion
so that I can go forward. Now that I have holy feet, clean feet, they will be able to go and deliver the living word of the Holy Ghost wherever I go, wherever He sends me, and He will be glorified through my walk with Him every day, 7 days a week. Not just on Passover, but every single day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I will rejoice and be glad in everything He sends me to do. And I'll deliver the word of life wherever He sends me. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want you to just close your eyes for a moment. Say, Holy Spirit, we've got a lot to say tonight. You're the only one that has it all recorded. Bring it back when I need it. Because I'm desperate. I don't want to miss the mark. And I will not miss the mark. In Jesus' name. Amen.